Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it might be true that to everything there is a season, but this year the King James Bible celebrates 400 years and still has not, as we may find in its text, fallen from grace. Instead, it's credited with, quote, turning the world upside down when it comes to language and our idioms. And that is the focus of this King James Bible conversation. Historians and enthusiasts have long, another quote, shouted from the rooftops that the King James Bible, quote, has put words in our mouth, and is a translation which has had the greatest influence on the way we speak, the way we play with words, and the way religion permeated society. So listeners, think back now. When was the last time something was a double-edged sword or dressed in sheep's clothing? How often have you decided to fight the good fight or thought money is the root of all evil? You may not have known it, but you were in one way or another quoting the King James Bible. Joining me now from North Wales is linguist David Crystal, author of Begat, the King James Bible and the English Language. David Crystal, welcome back to WNYC. Hello from New York.
Hey, hello from Wales, Brian.
You found 257 expressions that can be in some way attributed to the King James Bible. You're a linguist, so tell us, is that a lot for an important work like this, or not very many?
Well, you know, I wrote this book because I didn't know the answer to that question. Because I went out and asked people, you know, how many expressions of the kind you've been quoting are there? And people said, oh, 50 or 100. And then people said, 1,000. And I thought, well, if there are so many differences of opinion, I'd better count them myself. So that's what I did. I started at the beginning and went through to the end, and it took an awful long time. And I highlight every item that I could find that seemed to have a resonance in the present day and got that figure of 257.
Have you ever done the same with Shakespeare?
Yeah, I have. Exactly the same. And Shakespeare doesn't have as many idioms. Shakespeare has about 100 or so idioms that have come into English. Of course, where Shakespeare beats the King James Bible is that he invented a large number of words in the language, you know, a couple of thousand maybe. And the translators of the King James Bible were told not to do that. They had to be as conservative as possible. So there is a big difference there.
And listeners, we have about 10 minutes for this, and here's a challenge. You may have heard, whether you knew it or not, some great puns from language found in the King James Bible. Let my blogger go, or be fruitful and divide, or honor thy mother and anyone living with her. Can you think of some good ones you've heard or make them up related to the news of the day? They've got to be based on real expressions from the King James Bible. Let's say adapted for contemporary use. Can leave them on our website, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. What have you found about the modern uses of these idioms? There are so many puns and alternative uses.
That was the main finding, actually. Because when you go through those 250 or so quotations from the Bible, what you find is that very few of them are actually unique to the King James Bible, less than 20. What the King James did, of course, was it incorporated into itself lots of these phrases that had been used in the 16th century Bibles going right back to Tyndale. So what the KJB did, what the King James Bible did, was it popularized, and it popularized these in a way that had never happened before. And one of the things that happens when you popularize, of course, you start to play with the language. And that was the main finding, that that every conceivable walk of life, you know, from punk rock to politics, was full of these adaptations that you've just been illustrating.
Let's take a word. Tell us about the word multiply. We hear it in be fruitful and multiply, but the word, as I understand it, in the King James Bible didn't even mean what it means now in a mathematical sense. How did that change come about?
Well, it's one of those natural developments that you get in language. I mean, many of the words and phrases in the King James Bible have altered over the years. The language change is one of those natural things that's happened. Fruitful, of course, has also changed its meaning. Anyway, multiply, it came in from French in the Middle Ages in its basic sense of increase in number. And that's the sense you find in the Bible. It's used 100 times or more. The mathematical sense of multiplication sort of came much, much later. So today, these two senses operate side by side, and therefore it's possible for people to play on the words and make a pun and enjoy the language more.
Dale, in Seaford Harbor, you're on WNYC. Hello, Dale.
Hi, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
And I want to make what I think is a correction. I can't get to my Bible right now, but I don't think the Bible says money is the root of all evil. I think, and your guest can correct me if I'm wrong, it says the love of money is the root of all evil.
Ah. How accurate is Dale?
That's absolutely right. And isn't it interesting? It illustrates the point very clearly. The Bible says one thing, and when it gets into popular usage, people adapt it. They change it, and they push it in different directions. And you're dead right. Love of money is what the Bible says. But that doesn't seem to matter anymore, because it's the popular adaptation is the one that's got into everybody's heads.
Too many words, too many characters.
Yes.
Matthew in Park Slope, you're on WNYC. Hello, Matthew.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes, I'm someone who studies the Bible quite a lot. And along the lines of your question, I do have a citation that is misunderstood, actually, the one about to whom much is given, much is required. And people generally use that to talk about good things, and thus you should give back. But the actual context of the Bible, it's talking about judgment. If someone is given the Bible, having much, a lot of information, that they misuse it, much will be required from them in terms of punishment, actually. So it's actually misused that way. And I'm someone, actually, who uses the King James Bible because of its accuracy, actually. It's much more accurate, despite it being in the Old English, than modern translations to the original language. And believe it or not, and this will be a shock, I'm a regular listener to you, Brian, so I'm not coming out of left field some other place, that this studying of the original language actually leads to a date for Judgment Day, which is May 21st, 2011. I'm sorry to just drop that in so suddenly, but I'm one of the people who gets this information out through studying the King James Version.
Matthew, thank you very much. I'm certainly not surprised that anybody listens to this show. But what about his point on the accuracy of the language or any other place he was going with that?
Well, I think that there are two sides to this. There's one, the scholarly, philological, theological, and so on, analysis of the Bible in its own day, how it was, what it meant, and so on. And then there's the question of what people have done to it over the years. And my book is largely about what happened after the Bible that particular translation came into being. I mean, I'll give you a quick example. There are lots of present-day phrasings that don't actually appear in the King James Bible at all, or for that matter, in any other Bible translation of the period. And yet, everybody thinks of them in that way. Fly in the ointment. That's a fly in the ointment, we say. Well, fly in the ointment certainly comes from Ecclesiastes, but when you look in Ecclesiastes, you don't actually find that particular phrase anywhere. In Ecclesiastes, you get, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savour, which is a bit wordy, really, compared with the present-day use. So there have been big changes in the language since those days and now.
Alyssa in Hoboken, you're on WNYC. Hello, Alyssa.
Hello. I was just wondering what our guests thought might be the most controversial translations from Hebrew or Latin, whatever, to into the King James English.
Well, I didn't find that much illustration of direct influence of the earlier languages in the examples that I was looking at. There is, of course, a huge amount of influence when one has phrases like, you know, vanity of vanities, for example. That kind of unusual phrase in English is there because of the influence of the original Hebrew. But I was looking at phrases that have come into popular use almost regardless of their language of origin. And the evidence for this is that many of the phrases actually have a parallel development in early English proverbs. And you can find that what the King James Bible people did was they, as indeed everybody did in the 16th century, wanting the Bible to be understood by the ordinary person in the street, was they tried to incorporate into it phraseologies and idioms that already had a certain currency outside.
Alyssa, thank you very much. We've just got a couple of minutes left on the language of the King James Bible, 400 years old this year, with the author of the book Begat, which goes over more than 200 expressions of the modern day, which originated there, the powers that be, don't tell Richard Nixon, a stumbling block, the root of the matter, set your house in order, wandering eyes, covet, apple of his eye, beat swords into plowshares, a thorn in the flesh, woe is me, what hath God wrought, a man after his own heart. It would probably take me about 40 minutes to read the whole list. But some of them, we so associate it, if you believe in the Bible, with God's word, turn to him the other cheek, an eye for an eye. How did they say these things before the King James Bible?
Well, something like 90% of them were already in currency. You know, it's often been said that Tyndale's Bible, which appeared in 1525, it was only a selection of some of the books being translated. It's often said that something like 80% of the King James Bible can be traced directly back to him. And the reason is because the committees that translated the Bible were told, you know, be conservative. Build on what has happened before. Don't make a new translation, they were told. Make an old one better. And that's what they did.
Live from North Wales, linguist David Crystal, author of Begat, the King James Bible and the English Language. So illuminating. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Have a good weekend.